We're still in Daniel chapter 7. Hopefully we'll have time to finish it tonight. And if we do, just give you a quick introduction to chapter 8. But I want to start with something and end chapter 7 with the same thing in just a few minutes. You know, we study prophecy. It's part of the Bible. And we study prophecy not so that we can say, well, you know, we know what's going to happen at the end. We don't do it out of idle curiosity. We don't do it just to have vain knowledge. But what we're going to find tonight, in the last verse of chapter 7, Daniel talked about how the prophecy affected him. And as we study prophecy, that ought to be the reason that we do it, so that it will affect us, so that it will make us be aware of what the Lord has planned and what's going to happen. And again, some of this stuff we don't know in detail exactly what's going to happen, but we have a general idea of what's going to happen in the last days, and we need to pray that as we study it, it will impact us to a degree that we'll make sure that we're ready for those days, and that we would help those around us be ready too. And so as we go through the book of Daniel and we look at some of the prophecy that's going to happen in the latter times, in the tribulation, pray that it will impact you to the degree that it will make us more zealous in our attempt to share Jesus with other people. So in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel had a dream. We've been in this chapter the last couple weeks. He dreamed about four beasts. He had a dream about a lion, he had a dream about a bear, a leper, and then the fourth beast was like no other beast. I mean, the other three had counterparts in the zoos or in the jungle, but this fourth beast that Daniel saw in probably a second vision was like no other beast. And we've talked about how those four beasts correspond to the four different metals that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about in Daniel chapter 2. That represented the kings and the kingdoms, the four major kings and kingdoms from Nebuchadnezzar on till the end of time. Now, we start tonight in where we left off last week in verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And so again, when Daniel saw what was happening, and the beast, just like the Nebuchadnezzar was troubled with the statue of different metals that he saw, Daniel was troubled in his spirit and in his body with the beast that he saw. And so he says in verse 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by, one of the heavenly beings, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. And so Daniel approached one of the angels or one of the saints that were there, that were part of this vision, and Daniel asked, say, hey, help me to know what this means. It troubles me. It distresses me, not only in my body but in my spirit. Help me to know what it means, and that request was honored. So in verse 17, it starts the explanation. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. And again, we talked about a couple weeks ago that when you talk about either the statue or the beast, they represent not only the four kingdoms, but the four kings that ruled those kingdoms. And so again, the lion or the head of gold that Nebuchadnezzar saw was Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. The bear, or the arms of silver that Nebuchadnezzar saw, was the Medes and the Persians. And the king was Xerxes. I'm probably not saying that right, but X-E-R-X-E-X. The third beast, the leper, or the thighs of the statue of iron, the thighs of brass, I'm sorry, the thighs of brass that Nebuchadnezzar saw was the Greeks and the Macedonians. Alexander the Great was the king there. And then the wild beast, the fourth beast, was unlike any other beast. We'll talk about it in a minute, but it represented the Roman Empire, okay? And there were many wicked emperors. Nero was probably the worst one that persecuted the Christians. That's what the heavenly being told Daniel. The four beasts, just like the four different metals, the parts of the body, the Roman Empire was represented by the mixture of iron, the feet and the toes made of iron and clay, represented four kingdoms, four different kings. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. This is talking about at the end. After the four kingdoms that the beast and the statues represent pass away, the saints of the Most High, all right? Again, if you study the words, the saints of the Most High, it's basically talking about Jewish Christians. If you look at the Aramaic word, and again, we'll talk about if we get to chapter 8 tonight, chapters 1 through 7, or chapters 2 through 7 in Daniel were written in the language of his day where he was, the Aramaic. Starting in chapter 8, he goes back to Hebrew. Now, we don't notice it in the King James because it's all English, but it makes a difference. Because in chapter 8, he's going to talk about the kingdom that Jesus is going to set up, the thousand-year reign, and then the kingdom after that, after the Battle of Armageddon. And the saints are going to rule with him. It'll be Jewish saints and Gentile saints, so it'll be Christians of all types. And that kingdom is going to last forever and ever and ever. Then Daniel said, Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And so Daniel says, okay, I understand what the first three are. Now again, he was part of the Babylonian Empire. Remember, this vision, this one happened the first year of Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the guy that saw the handwriting on the wall, so to speak, but it was in the first year. So Daniel was part of the Babylonian Empire, so he knew what the heavenly being was talking about when he was talking about Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold. But he says, I want to know about this fourth beast. And he recounts there in verse 19 how ferocious it was. Iron teeth, brass nails, break in pieces and stamped everything that was left. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. So he says, okay, I understand the first three. I want to know about the fourth one. I want to know about the 10 horns that were on his head, that grew out of that beast. And again, we talked about it last week. Those 10 horns represent the Roman Empire. Again, 10 toes made of brass made of iron and clay in Nebuchadnezzar's statue. The Roman Empire, okay? Now, you might think, well, the Roman Empire fell. Well, it wasn't conquered. It wasn't wiped out like the Babylonians and the Medes and the Greeks were. Rome fell apart internally. It fell apart because of the corruption that happened inside the empire. It was not conquered. And so it sort of fell apart. And it still exists. It doesn't exist as a Roman empire, but the 10 countries that make it up still exist in Europe and in parts of Asia, in parts of Africa. And so, again, at the end of the time, the Roman Empire for a while is going to have power again under the Antichrist. But Daniel said, and then that little other horn that arose, he overcame 3 of the horns, and then all 10 were under him. And as we talked about last week, that little horn is the Antichrist, who's going to rise up and for a while, a brief while, will rule the resurrected Roman Empire that will be in power when Jesus comes back the second time, not the first time for the rapture, but when he comes back the second time, he will put that kingdom down and set up his rule. He'll cast Satan into the lake of fire. He'll set up his rule, and he'll rule for 1,000 years. Verse 21, and that's what this verse says. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And again, for a while, the Antichrist is going to rule. He's going to kill saints. He's going to kill Christians. But at the end of the tribulation, he's going to rule, and we'll talk about the timing in just a minute. He's going to rule for that 3.5 years. But at the end of that 3.5 years, the Ancient of Days, God himself, is going to give judgment, and he's going to cause the saints to possess the kingdom. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And again, Rome did that the first time. It was a very cruel oppressor. It tore down and break in pieces, and when it is resurrected and comes back, it's going to do the same thing. Verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the 3 kings. Again, so 3 of the kings are going to be overthrown or subdued by the Antichrist. And notice what it says in verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. So he will be a blasphemer and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He'll come after the Christians and think to change times and laws. He'll try to change things. Times, he'll go to his own time. We think daylight savings time is bad enough, those of us that don't like to switch. Wait till you get on Antichrist time. It'll be worse than that. He'll change times, and he'll change laws, especially the Jewish law. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. So here's what that means. Time is a year. Times are 2 years. Dividing of time is a half a year. So you add them all up, you get 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist will rule. That's the same amount of time, the 3.5 years, as the 42 months that Revelation talks about in chapter 11 and verse 2. And it's the 1,260 days that Revelation 11:3 and 12:6 talk about. So it's that same last 3.5 years of the tribulation that the Antichrist is going to rule. But the judgment shall set, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. It'll all be taken away. Jesus will come. He will overthrow the Antichrist. Again, he will set up his rule. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So when Jesus comes back and he sets up his rule on earth, Christians will rule with him. Again, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. In that 1,000 years, somebody here may be the mayor of Clio. Somebody here may be the mayor of Flint. I don't know. But we're going to rule with Christ. The saints will rule with Christ. And his kingdom, again, on this earth, it's going to last 1,000 years. And again, like we talked about last week, for a while after that, Satan's going to be loosed, and he'll raise an army, and they'll fight the battle. But Jesus will be victorious, and after that, he'll be cast into hell forever and ever and ever, and the kingdom of Christ will last, as that verse says, his dominion shall, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Now, look at verse 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. So Daniel said, okay, I got my explanation. I understand what the four beasts mean. I understand they're kings and kingdoms that started with Nebuchadnezzar and will rule until the end of time. Then he says, as for me, Daniel, my cogitations, in other words, my thoughts, the things that I thought about, much troubled me. So as Daniel thought on these things, his mind was troubled. His thoughts were troubled. And my countenance, in other words, how I looked, my face, how it showed up, changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. In other words, he wrote it for us, but he didn't tell his contemporaries. He didn't call in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, hey, guys, let me tell you what God revealed to me. He said, I kept it to myself. Because it doesn't really affect this time. It's time that's coming in the end. And this is what I started with. It affected Daniel to the point that he was more zealous to stand up for God and to share God. And as we study prophecy of what's going to happen in the end, it ought to affect us the same way. It ought to make us more zealous and more bold to share Christ with other people. We know how it's going to end. I mean, and again, what is here in the book of Daniel and what is in the book of Revelation is just as sure prophecy. And again, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I understand every detail. I don't. There's a lot of things that I don't understand, but I understand the general theme. The general theme is that Satan is going to lose, and all those that rally around him and refuse Christ are going to be cast into hell forever. Now, that ought to motivate us. That ought to get us going to share the gospel and to get people saved. So if they're alive in that, if they're alive in that end time, they'll be with us and we'll avoid the tribulation because we'll be raptured out before it. But we need to be zealous. We need to be bold. And as we study what's going to happen in the end, it ought to motivate us to that end. Okay, we just got a couple minutes. So let me just give you a little brief preview of chapter 8. In chapter 8, in the third year of Belshazzar, Daniel's going to, this is toward the end, when the Medes and Persians are about to come in and overthrow Babylon, Daniel has another vision. This one is of a ram that has two horns and a he-goat. Now again, when we get into this prophecy, we're going to see that the ram represents the Medes and the Persians, the second kingdom, and the he-goat represents the Greeks under Alexander the Great. Now, Israel is going to become more involved in the prophecy. Okay? Again, both of these nations persecuted Israel. Both of these nations killed a lot of God's people. In fact, one guy we're going to talk about, he killed hundreds of thousands of Jews. I mean, I don't know if he killed as many as Hitler did, but he killed literally hundreds of thousands of them as he slaughtered them like animals. He desecrated the altar. History tells us that he offered a swine on the altar. He took swine blood and spread it on the altar. He was known in history as the great profaner. And again, as we zero in on the second and the third kingdom, we're going to see that the persecution that came against the Jews were greater and greater and greater. And so, again, I believe that's why Daniel, or directed by God, went in chapter 8 and started writing in Hebrew as opposed to the Aramaic. The Aramaic was, again, for the Babylonians and the people of that part of the world, but the Hebrew was for the Jews so that they would know what's going to happen. So again, we'll start chapter 8 next week and talk about the second vision. So I'll put there tonight. Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying back here. Brother Don, you're going to meet back here. And ladies, if you would like to gather to pray, you can do that over here. So let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.